before you came out of your mother's womb. Listen, your brain, out of which all your power comes, is in water. Huh? So water on your head and water on your body symbolizes life. But water is to the flesh as wisdom is to the mind. So you can be baptized in the water, and if your mind is attuned to what is the spirit of that action, then you become a new person. But the real new person is made when the mind is baptized in the wisdom of God. So when the scripture says, in Christ, you become a new creature. Well, you can't be the same old Negro and say you're a real Christian. A real Christian is a totally new creature. And when you say new, it's so new, it's attractive, it's magnetic, because it's unlike the world. Oh, man, you need to listen. You need to listen. I've been baptized. Not only in water, but I'm baptized in the wisdom of God, and not only can talk it, but you could tell no matter what your faith is, if the man is false, his spirit won't allow you to communicate with him or him with you. I don't come with no notes. I didn't know what I was going to say. Really don't need notes, because it's written on the heart. It's written in the head. What I'm saying is that the Spirit of God is the real power to transform human life. And if you've got knowledge but not spirit, then the energy of the Word lies locked up in the Word. But when the Spirit of God is in you, then you can pass the Word and unlock the power that's wrapped up in the Word to transform human life. I'm baptized. But I have a fire baptism. What is a fire baptism? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, the light of the world is the sun. And the sun is a fire, 14,972 degrees hot, 863,000 miles in diameter, belching out fire sometimes from 10 to 30,000 miles from her surface. She's nothing but fire. So when a man says, I'm the light of the world, he has been filled with the fire of the Word. And the fire reduces what it touches. Listen, breaks it all the way down in order to build it up again new. You can't tell me you met Jesus and you the same old Negro, thinking the same old thoughts, doing the same old things. If you met Jesus, you are a new creature. I'm a Baptist. What about you said you was a Jehovah's Witness? I'm that too. Jehovah means the self-existent God and the one by whom all things exist. If you're a witness of Him, and all of us should be a witness of the God that created us, then every one of you should want to be a witness of Jehovah. Because in Isaiah he said, ye are what? My witnesses. But you can't be a witness of God if God has not come into your life. See, you got to know that there's a God in my life if the world hates me. But yet the poor hear me gladly. And the world wants to destroy me but can't seem to do it. Then I must have been covered by and protected by a force that the world don't know yet. If they talk about me like a dog, write about me like a dog, trying to make people hate me before they meet me. But yet when they meet the brother, and the brother speaks, it begins to vanish. All the thoughts you used to think, or you still might think, hang out with me a few more minutes, and all of it will vanish, because I'm not what they say I am. I am that I am. If you understand. Now, when I say
I am a Muslim, I am a Christian, I am a Jew. To be a Muslim means one who submits to do the will of God, following the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And what is a Christian? One crystallized into oneness with God, following the example of Jesus Christ. What is a Jew? A Jew is one who has an intimate covenant relationship with God. And that unique covenant relationship with God is a very special relationship that a Jew has, which means that that person is bound to obey the laws, statutes, and commandments of God. That's his part of the covenant. All of that is good. But these communities are all divided against each other when they're all really saying the same thing. But each are so immature in the way they profess it that it only creates more and more and more division. Well, tonight, in this period of atonement, my duty as a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is to point out the wrong. Now, every prophet or messenger that comes is the star of God. When a messenger or prophet comes, it don't mean that things are right. It means that things are wrong. They're like God's police. When they show up, somebody has broken the law. And they come, but before they arrest you, they talk to you and show you, look, man, you off. Now, you better get this thing straight. Next time I come back, I have to arrest you. The prophet of God has to point out where the government went wrong, where the king went wrong, where the people went wrong, and then give the government, the people, a time to repent and confess. Oh, wow, I'm doing this, you know? So the people in the days of Noah preached for 150 years. And told the people, look, man, you got to straighten this up. What was wrong with the people? Every imagination of their heart was continually to do evil. Noah preached to them. In the meantime, he's building an ark on dry land. The people are laughing, but they don't know rain is coming. But Noah knows. And then all of a sudden, it starts raining one day. They thought it was just an ordinary rain. But when it rained one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, the rain started coming up. Then they said, uh-oh, that man Noah was telling the truth. They started knocking, but it was too late. The man was inside the ark, and the ark was closed. And the book says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Then you move on down, you see Lot going to the people of Sodom. What were they doing? What were they doing in Sodom that God had to send a prophet to check the wrong? When the prophet came, he found men lusting after men the same way they ought to feel about women. Wait a minute now. Don't get uptight. If you're in this condition. Wait, listen. No. Don't point to nobody. Don't point to nobody now. Don't do that. Because all of us are guilty of something. So when you point to somebody in their sin, just remember you got some too. And that's not what this is about. This is not about mocking anybody. It's not about knocking somebody. It's about presenting a clear message. Now look, brothers and sisters, in the Quran as well as the Bible, Lot came to say to the people of Sodom, look, this is an abomination in the sight of God. Will you change? Well, they didn't see themselves changing, taking on a woman when they like men. So, so what happened? The angels came to destroy Sodom, and they were men, evidently, because the Bible said the angels had met with Abraham in the plains of Mamre. There were three of them, and one of them was the Lord. And Abraham said, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, sit down. So the Lord had to have something to sit down on in order to sit down. And he sat down, and Sarah went in and was making food for the Lord. Then the two angels that were with the Lord, they went on down to Sodom because their mission was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they went to Lot's house, and the men of Sodom saw these very handsome men going in Lot's house, they came to Lot's house. And they said, send them angels out, baby. Who them fine men you got in there, Lot? And Lot, he was upset. He said, look, I got beautiful daughters. They said, man, we don't want your daughters. We want those angels. They didn't know they were angels. They're just good-looking men. That's why the book said, be careful how you entertain it. Strangers. You may be entertaining angels unaware. In the final analysis, the angels said to Lot, to Abraham rather, we've come to kill everybody in Sodom except Lot and his family. And Abraham was upset. He said, wait a minute. How are you going to kill the righteous with the wicked? So the angels knew that Lot didn't really understand, and God knew it. So he told Abraham, you go to Sodom and see if you can find 50. If you can find me 50 righteous, I'll save the city. And he went and he couldn't find 50. He came back. He said, well, go back, find me 40. He couldn't find 40. He said, well, go back, find me 30. He came back again. He said, well, look, keep on going. Then he said, finally, go and find me one. See, before God destroys a people, he wants his people to be with him when he destroys. He doesn't want you to accuse him of injustice. See, nobody kills like God. When God get ready to take you out, you know, he takes out men, women, children, babies, he don't care. And nobody has accused God. They accuse Hitler. They accuse Genghis Khan. They accuse Mussolini. But none of them kill like God. When he gets tired of you, I mean, he takes out whole families. And nobody says the Lord is unjust. Because everybody knows. He makes you to know your sins, boy, before he takes you out. He's a wonderful God. But he's about sick of us right along about now. And I'm only here to warn. The time is short. The time is real short. We don't have a lot of time to get our act together, but as a nation, Canada, and as a people, we ain't got much time. You can see the way the world is going. The world is headed into total disaster. And it's going to take us down with it. Unless there's some changes made. And so when I say when he couldn't find one, it said fire and brimstone fell on Sodom that day. And then the book changes to Pharaoh. Now that's the fella I wanted to get to. To help you see what you're going through right now. Toronto. You notice when there were just a few of you in Toronto? The racism wasn't manifest as much as it is today. But the more you began to multiply, the more your problems in the society multiplied. It ain't no different here than it is in England. Right now, all of the people that England colonized, there's a remnant of them that have gone to the mother country. There are many West Indians living in England, many Africans living in England, many Asians living in England. And when there were just a few, the British could tolerate you. But the more that you came, the racism and the reaction began to escalate, and now blacks are suffering in England. They're suffering in France. They're suffering in Denmark. Oh yeah, suffering in Holland. Suffering in Norway, Finland, Switzerland, Germany. There's not a European country right now that does not have a problem with the increase of blacks and Indians and Arabs in their lands. In America, if you notice what Pharaoh did, follow this now. Pharaoh saw the children of Israel multiplying. And that's what they see with you. Seems like the black man can't buy a gun, but he has a gun. And evidently it's loaded. And it's not firing blanks. Because every time we look around, your population is increasing. And so when the governments are talking about birth control is not aimed at white people. Birth control is aimed at black people, brown people, red people. Are you listening? They tried out the pill on you. They tried out, what's that thing? No plan. On you. You don't know the side effects. All you know is you don't have to get pregnant when you carry on. So the older women, you know, you're on the pill. In your 20s, 30s, you got the pill. You got an Plan. But you go to Wendy's. You go to Burger King. You go to McDonald's. See, the meat that you're eating today, they're injecting it with hormones to fatten it so that it can get to market quicker and draw a profit. So when you eat these hormone-induced meat, you notice your daughters, 9 years old, having menses, 9 years old, and they're developing breasts, and by the time they're 10 and 11, their breasts sometimes are bigger than their mothers. No, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just telling you some truth. Now, you gotta go to work, mama, because the man don't bring in enough to pay the bills, if he's there at all. In the Caribbean, listen, in the Caribbean, 60% of the homes have children but no father present. In America, in the black community, between 60 and 70% of the homes are headed by a female. There's no man present. This is a spiraling thing within the black family because unemployment and the pressures on the man are such that the man can't take it. No man feels good without a job. No man feels good when he cannot support his wife and his children. So to leave the house, running from responsibility, don't know where to run to. I want you to hear me. Pharaoh saw all of this. So when you leave, your little 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old girl is right in the house. Sometimes she's taken off by her brother. Sometimes by the uncle. Sometimes by the father. You didn't hear me. While you're off to work, some dirty old man that ain't got no job watching your daughter. Then your daughter comes up pregnant, 10, 11. So now you got teenagers producing babies. But the interesting thing is, your birth rate is continuing to climb. And in Europe, and in America, and in Canada, the white birth rate is almost at zero population growth. Wait a minute, for every one that dies, one is born. Which means that you have an ever-increasing population of elderly people and a diminishing population of young, fighting age, and working age white people. But the reverse is true with you. You got an ever-increasing young population of workers and warriors. You didn't hear me. Huh?
And so the boys in government say, look here, if this trend continues in America by the year 2050, the blacks will be equal to the whites in population or greater. So if in a democracy, one man, one vote, then we take over the Senate, we take over the House of Representatives, we become governors, then we come into power as president. Don't you think the racist sees this? And if you have any kind of coalition with the Hispanic community, you didn't hear me, with the Native Americans, the Native Canadians, then all of a sudden you become a power politically. And if you grow mentally where you become economically and politically mature, then every person born becomes a tangible factor of power. And then the people who want to keep power see that if you continue like this, you will ultimately take power from them and take over their country, and they will not have it. Now, brothers and sisters, this is serious, because if they see you multiplying and their birth rate diminishing, then the wise racists who want this land to always be theirs and their children have to develop a policy, whether it is known to you or not, that is a policy that will ensure that they will remain in power. And if you look, please follow me. Dear Muslims, in the Quran, Moses is mentioned more than any other prophet. And there's a reason for that. Because Moses is the most important person to give us an understanding of this time. Pharaoh said, we must get rid of Moses. He's trying to turn us out of our land. And that's why every time you produce a strong leader, they come down on him. Because with the right kind of leadership to organize and mobilize and educate you and politicize you, that leader becomes dangerous in the power elite. And they say, we got to deal with him. You know this man here. Stand up, brother. You know him? See, he's always in some kind of trouble. Well, what's wrong with this man? Does he just like trouble? I just met him today. He just like trouble? No. He loves you. And because he loves you, he spares no opportunity to fight on your behalf. And when he does that, he's in trouble with the authorities. Where's our attorney? Come on out here, brother. Now look, I'm sure with his knowledge of law, he could have a lot of money. And but he works for the people. He stands for the people. Well, then people see him as dangerous. I don't know what they write about them. I just got here. But I heard that they wrote some ugly things about me before I got there, and they've been doing that. Why is that? What's the problem? Am I a bad man? I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't use reefer, no drugs. Don't chase women, and don't chase men. I soon will be 64 years old, and I never have been arrested in my life. I've never bothered anybody. The only thing I do is tell the truth. But evidently, that's the wrong thing to do, because the truth will set you free. Now, why am I saying this? I'm coming to something. Bear with me just a few more minutes. Brothers and sisters, listen. When Pharaoh saw the children of Israel multiplying, listen to his words. According to both Bible and Quran, Pharaoh said, "Come, come, invitation. Let us deal wisely with them." Conspiracy. Counsel, check me if I'm wrong now. Come, let us deal wisely with them. That's a conspiracy. Lest they multiply. That's the first thing we got to stop. Their multiplication. And join on to an enemy of ours and come against us. Now these, there are five fears that the Bible and Quran mention of the ruling powers over you. The first is you're going to multiply. So we got to stop that. Second, that in your multiplication, you will join on to some enemy of theirs. And third, come against them. The Quran adds two more fears of Pharaoh. One, he feared that they would change their religion. Pharaoh didn't want you to change your religion. Why? Because he gave it to you. And he knew that any man that wouldn't treat you right wouldn't teach you right. So he put you in something that never would give you power with him. Now I want you to hear me. Hear me. See, the wise enemies, they knew Jesus was non-white. Wait. Listen now. Now, to a righteous person, we don't care what Jesus' color is, because we weren't following his color. We were in obedience to the majesty of the word of that man. We don't care nothing about his color, because God has the power to put his word in any human being who would carry that word no matter what their color is. And we must be wise enough to recognize God's word and his spirit regardless of color. However, it just so happens that evidently they were afraid that if they wanted to make you a good slave, they had to make you continue to think less of yourselves and more of them. So, listen. Their aim was to keep you away from any contribution that your people had made to the advancement of civilization. Now, you know I just left the Caribbean, right? In most of the Caribbean islands, I visited Jamaica. I visited St. Kitts and Nevis. I visited Cuba. I visited Trinidad and Tobago. I visited Barbados. I visited Guyana. And I visited Suriname. Now, everywhere, listen, what happened? You know what's wrong with me? Listen, my daughter. You see what happened with this man? My parents come from the British West Indies, and I was reared in America. So one of the things that they do to us, when they enslave us, they give us their names, their language, their culture, their religion, and we become a part of their history. I was scheduled to go to Dominica, and I landed in Martinique. Yes, ma'am. Wait, ma'am, let me tell you.
Listen. Here's a man from the French West Indies, right? What is your name?
Henri. François Chancy. Bonjour, 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 mademoiselle.
Madame, monsieur. And right next door is your brother.
He's saying, comment allez-vous aujourd'hui?
No,
he's saying,
comment está usted? Está bien.
So I don't understand that man. I speak French, he speaks Spanish. We are at odds with each other.
So the British and the French West Indies carry the same historical anger as the British and the French. Right now, some of us living in Ontario, but you got some living in Quebec. And since the French and the British don't get along, some of us don't get along with each other because our master don't get along with each other. Huh? All right. But listen, I was getting to a point, and I don't want to miss that point. But listen, brothers and sisters, in all of these islands where there are Indians, Chinese, Arabs, whites, and black, you find the Indian, Arab, Chinese, and whites heavily involved in the economies of those islands, while the blacks are the majority and are in political power, but don't have the money. They don't control the economies of these countries. Well, is it because we're inferior? Are you sure? That's right, we're not inferior. So I said to the Indians and I said to the Arabs and the Chinese and others that are on these islands, what you don't understand is what happened to us. See, the blacks, when we were brought there as slaves, many of our parents were Muslims. I want you to hear me. They were Muslims in Africa. And when they were brought out of Africa into the West, since the Muslims and the Christians were locked into struggle over Jerusalem. You hear me? And the Muslims won and conquered Spain and Portugal and southern France. Even went up to the gates of Vienna. These were black people in Islam that conquered. You better hear me now. And they mixed their blood with the Spanish and the Portuguese. That's why they're dark over there. Huh? They went into Sicily and they mixed their blood with the Sicilians. So they're the darkest Italians. Talk to me. So, when they got us in the Western Hemisphere, they didn't want no Islam among us because they know that Islam will make you militant. Islam. See, when you know God, oh, brother, when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, when you say that and know it and mean it, no man can make you a slave. Because you will not bow down to nothing or no one but God. So the slave master wanted no Islam in the Western Hemisphere, so they killed off the Muslims. Wouldn't let the parents teach the children. Whether they were in what they call animist religions or Islam, they did not want any of the culture of Africa and the history of Africa to be passed on to you. So in the West Indies, they stripped you. So today, you ain't British. You ain't an Englishman, but look at you. You got English name. You Johnson. Mr. Williams, Mr. Green,
Mr. White, Mr. Bush, Mr. Washington, Mr. Jefferson, Mr. Lincoln, Mr. Blakely. Whose name is that? That's a white man's name. Well, are you he or are you you? Well, if you're a black man from Africa, where's your African name? Go look at the Indians that are in the Caribbean. All of them got their own name. They got their own culture. They got their own history. You are robbed of all of that, and that's why you are not accomplishing, either in the Caribbean or in Canada or in America, what you need to accomplish to be free, because a tree without fruits is dead, a root is dead, and a people without the knowledge of their history are dead. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a Chinese person in Jamaica? You say, you see him come in, you know he's Chinese. And he say, my name is Louis Jones. You would say, what happened to the man? The man is supposed to be Wing King. King Lee. He's Henry Jones. Somebody mess with that fella. He got the look of a Chinese, but he's really something else on the inside. You got the look of a black man, but you a white man on the inside. He made us that way. Yes. And that's why you don't make no progress even when you got power in your hands, because you want to rule like your enemy. You want to walk like your enemy. You want to live like your enemy. And so beloved black people, a service has to be rendered to you. And I say to all my Muslim brothers and sisters from the Islamic world, you really need to understand what has happened to this segment of humanity. See, because when you come up under white supremacy, the people that are the darkest are made to feel the most inferior. I want you to hear me. I really want you to hear me. The black man, because he's black and his hair is kinky and his lips are a little thicker, his nose a little broader, even though some of the Indians are blacker than him, but the hair's straight, the lips a little thinner, the nose a little thinner, they feel like they're better than this black kinky-haired man. I want to talk to you. So when the slave master mixes his blood in us and we come out looking like me or lighter, hair just a little bit of curl in it, nose a little thinner, lips a little thinner, then they tell the boy, he's good looking. Well, somebody black ain't good looking, you know. Listen to me careful now. The more he straight his hair, they say the man got good hair, you know. So if straight hair is good, what is kinky hair? Come on, talk to me. How the hell are you going to give a moral quality to hair? Hair is hair, whether it's kinky, curly, or straight. Hair is hair. But why do you call it good hair if the man hair straight? Why do you call him good looking if they light and bright? It is because. Those who are the masters of white supremacy made an image of Jesus. Listen, and they painted him white. Wait, sometime he got blonde hair and blue eyes. Sometime he got brown hair and brown eyes. Even though they didn't have Clairol in those days. The one thing that never changed, he's always white. Now hear me, listen. We all know Jesus was a good man. The Bible says Jesus was really the apex of the prophetic community. The pinnacle of it is Jesus. The Quran says Jesus was a perfect example. Are you listening to me? Of the law. Perfect example. But you can't get no better than perfect. I don't understand Arabic that well, but the way all the translations I read say of Jesus.